Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Hello and welcome. Happy Sunday. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill, the best radio station in the state. Folks, for 149 episodes, that's right, for 149 episodes, this show has been all about sharing ideas and stories and behaviors that are designed to help you grow your creative capacities and develop your entrepreneurial instincts and behaviors, become the most adaptive, the most imaginative, the most collaborative version of yourself that you can be. This show, therefore, is show number 150, and excuse me, I'm declaring for myself that that's a bit of a milestone, and I'm allowing this show to be different than the 149 that came before. Yesterday, being Valentine's Day, was my inspiration for how I wanted to make this show different than the others, and that is I'm going to dedicate this whole show to talking about my loves, and there are many. There are many. My new book, Common Ground for Us, which will be out in June and carries the subtitle of Warning, Reading This Book Makes Folks Optimistic. The very first words in that new book are, I love you. I love you and your family and your friends. I love their family and their friends. And I hope you feel that love on every page of this book. I also hope that you have felt that way about this radio show, folks. Those of you who are listening, I hope that you have felt the love that I bring to for you in every one of these shows that I deliver to you. I love my neighbor's sign. He put it up a couple of years ago. His sign was, I love you. Now, you may be saying to yourself, you don't even know me, so how can you love me? The sign goes on to say, well, people will hate you without knowing you, so why can't I love you without knowing you? I love this radio station. I love all the kind and smart and appreciative folks that work here, and they're so genuinely committed to loving you, to loving and caring for you, for their community. It just blows me away. I see evidence of it every time I'm here. And I love that this radio station has such great snacks for me to take home with me at the end of my session here. I love this area, and I've loved this area for 44 years since we left Illinois. We left Illinois on March 29th, 1982, so almost exactly 44 years ago. And folks, if you maybe can recognize that date, our very last evening in Illinois was therefore March 28th, 1982. It's the very last evening we spent watching Michael Jordan hit the shot against Patrick Ewing and Georgetown, that shot from the corner to win the national championship. The very next morning, we took our nine-month-old daughter, Sarah Rose, and all of our belongings fit in the smallest U-Haul trailer one could rent, and we came on down to North Carolina, and we've loved being here for 44 years. I went to work when I got down here for a man that I came to respect immediately and love soon thereafter, Billy Carmichael, with his old advertising agency, Carmichael McNeely. I loved working for Billy. Sometimes saw him as like the last true Southern gentleman was Billy Carmichael. I love the man. I love our corner of South Durham County where we've lived for most of the 44 years. And most of those 44 years, we've lived right on the edge of 40,000 acres of federally owned forest and meadow managed by the Army Corps at the federal level, managed by the North Carolina Department of Wildlife at the state level. Much of that time, we had a little six-acre farm right on the border. We shared a boundary with that 40,000 acres, and our farm did. I loved raising chickens. I loved raising goats. I loved caring for horses. I loved the hog that we had the one year. I loved all the dogs and cats that we had and all the critters that we raised on that six-acre farm. I loved every one of them. We raised our three daughters in this corner of South Durham County and much of that time on that six-acre farm. And I found my life's calling here in North Carolina. I love that I found my life's calling here, which is helping folks. My life's calling is helping folks grow their creative and their entrepreneurial capacities. And leading a workshop is such a love-filled time for me. So let me make you an offer right now in the middle of all this love. Let me make you an offer that I would love for you to accept. And that is, I'm offering listeners a free creativity workshop. 60 minutes, 90 minutes, you tell me how long you want it to be. I'll deliver that free workshop for your nonprofit. I would love to deliver that free workshop for your book club, for your church group, for any neighborhood community group that you've got, any service organization that you are a part of. I would love to come and do a workshop for you on growing your creative capacities. If you could bring together six people, that's enough. A dozen would be great. And after that, the more, the merrier, the more folks that we can get into that workshop, the more fun that we will have. Where my love dwarfs all the rest of my loves is with my family. And let me start with my wife, Marie. I was married to my first wife. Marie is my second wife. I was married to my first wife just 2 or 3 days after I graduated from college. I think 3 days after I graduated from college is when I married my first wife. And she was a lovely lady, and we stayed married for 7 years. We respected each other. We were kind to each other, but we didn't really love each other. And so after 7 years, we finally acknowledged that to each other. We got divorced. I think this is no more than 3 or 4 days after the divorce that I see that I have an opportunity to fly. I'm in the Chicago area at the time, to fly down to Dallas to visit a client, because then I could take a short flight from Dallas down to Bryan, Texas, where my brother was getting his PhD in veterinary medicine at Texas A&M, and we were going to go camping to commemorate. I used to say celebrate. No, celebrate's not the right word. To commemorate the fact that I was now a divorced man. So he picked me up at the little Bryan, small little one runway airport on that Friday evening. I flew in on a Friday. It was night, so we couldn't go camping yet. Bob had two friends who had gone out that morning to go find us a great campsite. The four of us were going to camp together. So Bob and I stopped at a bar on our way from the airport to his apartment. And in fact, not a bar. It was a tavern, Swinging Doors and all, there in Bryan, right outside the Texas A&M community. And folks, when you come on back, I'm going to talk about what happened that night in that bar. I hope you'll enjoy the story. So come on back after the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. Thanks for listening. Isn't this a wonderful radio station, 97.9 The Hill? I love this radio station. And that's what we're talking about here in this episode of Exploring Your Creative Genius. This is my 150th episode. I'm giving myself permission to do whatever I want to do for this episode. And I'm taking my inspiration from yesterday being Valentine's Day. I hope you had a wonderful Valentine's Day. And so this show is all about my loves. And I've introduced my loves to you in the first episode, and now I'm talking about my wife, Marie, and my meeting of my wife, Marie. I had just gotten divorced. I was down with my brother in Texas to go on a camping trip to sort of commemorate my new life as a divorced person, as a single person, not as a divorced person, but as a single person. And so we stopped at a tavern. We were drinking long necks. I think probably through the first beer that we drank, we were just catching up generally on how he's doing, how I was doing. By the time we got to the second is when we started talking about my divorce. Bob, my brother, had become quite close with my first wife, and so he was very interested to know what was happening. And I'm explaining to my brother, and this is sort of his version of the story. I didn't quite capture all this until I heard him telling this version of the story. I was talking to him about the fact that, yes, indeed, I'd gotten married just 2 or 3 days after graduating from college. married now for 7 years, and therefore I had never as an adult really experienced being out in the world on my own, being a bachelor, not having a commitment to another individual. And I was saying to my brother, I think I'm going to enjoy that. I think I'm going to try that out for a while. I don't think I'm going to get married for quite some time. In fact, I said to Bob, I don't think I'm ever going to get married again. I wouldn't be surprised if that were to be so. And just as I said that, I turned and looked at those swinging doors that the tavern had, and in walked a young lady. She walked about 5 yards probably from the door to the table that she settled into with her friend. And in the time that she walked those 5 yards, when she settled down in her table, I turned to my brother. This could be no more than 5, 6, 7 seconds after she walked in. I turned to my brother and I said, I'm going to marry that woman. I gave her about 5 minutes to settle in. I walked over, said hello to her and her friend. I spent about 5 minutes at the table with my introduction and just, you know, initial questions. After about 5 minutes, I came back to the bar where my brother was sitting, and I said, Bob, you're going to be real upset with me, buddy, but I'm not going camping. I'm not going camping this weekend. I'm going to spend as much time with this young lady as she will allow me to spend with her because, Bob, I think I have met my next wife. And he was a little bit disappointed that I wasn't going to be camping with him. He said, but I got to go because my two friends have already left, and this is before cellular phones, so Bob couldn't call him to let him know we weren't coming. He said, I got to go. And I don't know if I said it out loud or just to myself, but I said, good, I'm glad you're going to be going because that means I don't have any obligation except to try to spend as much time with Marie, my wife Marie, as I possibly could. Folks, the only thing that kept me from asking her to marry me that very weekend was that, of course, I would have wanted to tell her that I had just gotten divorced a few days ago, and that was not going to be the story I wanted to lead with, so I didn't tell her. But this love that I have for her, this love that I have for my family, has resulted in love songs coming to me. Love songs sing themselves to me. This is how I experience it. A number of love songs have sung themselves to me so that I can sing them to others. And here's one for my wife, Marie. I flew into Texas on a Friday night. Wasn't feeling too good. Things weren't going right. I wasn't looking for adventure, but you know I might find it there with love at first sight. I watched her as she walked to her table and chair. It didn't take long before I joined her there. She had a wondrous smile and long blonde hair. I was filling up with love. It was more than I could bear. When I asked her to marry me, she said, I will. My heart skipped a beat. It skips it still. I wasn't looking for adventure, but you know I'm right. I find it each and every day with love at first sight. Now, before that song came to me, a whole series of lullabies came to me for our daughters as we were raising our three girls. I often borrowed melodies from other songs as I created new lullabies to sing to my daughters. You'll recognize Silent Night, I think, when I sing to you the first lines from three of my three daughters' lullabies. Here's the eldest daughter, Sarah Rose. Sarah Rose, Sarah Rose, every day she grows and grows, getting much smarter and stronger each day, doing it in her own time and own way. And then Britta Marie, Britta Marie, she's as lovely as she can be. She likes to read and she likes to run. She always works hard and has lots of fun. And then my youngest daughter, Krista Ann. Krista Ann, Krista Ann, your life is so grand, finding the joy in every day. It's in your work and it's in your play. All three of those songs had a shared line, which was, no matter what you do or say, I will love you every day. Then there was a day I was driving to pick up Britta from a summer camp in eastern Virginia. Boy, beautiful, beautiful country. I was listening to country music, and all of a sudden I had to pull the car over to the side of the road because the song was coming hard. It was coming fast. I had to capture all of it. I needed to get out a pad of paper that I always have with me when I'm driving. And here came, as soon as I had the line, I got three girls, wish I had seven. As soon as I heard that line, wow, whole seven stanzas of song came flowing. I wrote it all down as fast as I could. I think maybe I changed two words from what came to me when it first came to me so ferociously. And here's a stanza from the middle of the song. I got three girls, wish I had seven, 'cause they've taught me all that I know about the secret to the good life. You reap love when love you sow. That's for my three girls. Now, I have changed the song since the first time I wrote it because it was a song that was written for young girls, and I've changed it to acknowledge that they are more adult now, that they're adults, and the song now refers to my three adult daughters. So folks, we've been talking about my loves. We've got a break here coming. I hope you come back from the break. I've got a real special treat for you in this third segment. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear in this third segment. So come on back.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. This is Carl Nordgren. You've been listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius. You've been listening to a very different episode of Exploring Your Creative Genius. This is episode number 150, and so I had given myself permission to do something very different than what I've been doing. What I've been doing is helping you become more creative and more entrepreneurial. In this episode, I'm just having fun sharing my loves, just sharing my loves with you. And again, let me repeat this offer to you folks because I hope a bunch of you are going to take me up on it. I'm offering, if you have a nonprofit, if you have a book club, if you have a church group, if you have any nonprofit organization that would like to have some fun, because they're fun. These workshops are fun. An hour long, an hour and a half long is even better. Workshop that'll be all about being deeply engaged, delightfully engaged in growing your creative capacities. I would like to do one for you for free. I would love to do one for you for free. I will include my email address when the show is posted on Wednesday on their website. You'll find my email address there. Let me give it to you now. My name is Carl Nordgren, N-O-R-D-G-R-E-N, Carl Nordgren, and my email is Carl Nordgren 14 at gmail.com. Send me an email if you're at all interested in taking me up on my offer on doing a free workshop for you. Folks, we're going to close the show. I'm going to take a minute or two to set up this close, but we're going to close the show with another song, a song sung by my father. My father, in about a month and a half, will be 98 years old. My father has had just the most wonderful singing voice. I inherited many things from my father. I did not inherit his singing voice. He has just an extraordinary singing voice, as you are about ready to hear. I've been in a couple of bars with him where there were where there was a piano player, and he'd go up to the piano player and say, in those days, his go-to song was Summertime from Porgy and Bess. And boy, he could really knock out a version of Porgy and Bess's Summertime that just caused people to just love it. He's an incredible man. He's done so many wonderful things in his life. He's just such a generous, generous individual. Was flying his own airplane till he was 90 years old, was my father. Well, he lives in a farm in southwest Wisconsin. I visited him there with our family in August of last year, so he was almost exactly between his 97th and his 98th birthday, when I asked him to please sing a song for me. Please sing a song that I would record and I would have with me and I'd keep it with me And folks, you are now going to hear the song that my father sang when he was just a couple of months short of his 98th birthday. And here it is. Thanks for listening. Please contact me about the workshops.
My dear, dear son, I'm now fulfilling a request you've made that you would like to hear my voice now and again when we're both far away from one another. So here it goes. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy. They say he wandered very far, very far, over land and sea. A little shy and sad of eye, oh, but very wise was he. And then one day, one magic day, he came my way. And though we spoke of many things, fools and kings, this he said to me: "Oh, the greatest thing you will ever learn is just to love and be loved in return."
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.